been a fool before, but I've never felt so completely insane. I know I've been here before, but I never saw this for what it really was. And I hope that I can get my point across. Hope that I don't lie dormant in the shadows now. I know that I am running as fast as I can. I know that that's not very fast at all. I'm trying so hard to be something that I just end up being nothing at all. So watch me as I stumble now. Watch me smile as I hit the ground. Time that I knew the truth, I would just pretend that I wasn't hiding. I'd tell myself it's alright. I know myself, and I think that's all that matters. And I hope that I can get my point across. Hope that I don't lie dormant in the shadows now. I know that I am running as fast as I can. I know that's not very fast at all. I'm trying so hard to be something that I just end up being.
Folks, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It's talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. Let me tell those of you who have been writing to me saying the K-File subscription page doesn't work. Let me tell you something. You were exactly right. And I don't know why, I don't know what happened, but that's been fixed. It does work now. So for those of you who have been trying to subscribe to the K-Files, you can do so now. And you just click where it says K-Files. Now, for those of you who are new and you don't know what that is, it's our free weekly newsletter. It's always got some inside information about the show, and it always has some articles about things going on around the world. Video links to videos that I think are very interesting, and people that read the K-Files think so too. They tell me so. But links to videos that are within our genre. Audience feedback, and always a download, a free download of some software. So it's a good publication. It's been around for a long time. I started K-Files about, 3, 4, 5 weeks after I started the show back in 2000. So it's been around a long time. We'd like for you to be getting it, and it's absolutely free. It's not Washington, D.C. free, you know. Washington, D.C. free means there are all kinds of strings attached. This is not Washington, D.C. free. It's real, honest-to-God free. Like if you just open up the Oxford Dictionary and look up free, real free, okay? So go ahead and subscribe, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. And when you're subscribed, you will not be in the dark any longer. Remember that rather spectacular video or several videos of the UFO over Jerusalem, over the Dome of the Rock or the Temple Mount, and all the discussion about, well, it's fake. Well, one of the videos maybe is fake. The others are pretty hard to discredit. There were four videos. A fifth one has emerged. You'll see it here tonight. And that is if you're a member and if you are watching our TV channel. To watch our TV channel, you have to be a member. But hey, you know what? It's only 23 cents a day. Take that down to the store and ask them if they would give you whatever's in the store that you can have for 23 cents. There is nothing for 23 cents in any store anywhere, so far as I know. So 23 cents a day, that does it. 23 cents a day. And then you're a member. And then you can watch our TV channel. You can watch it live. You also get into the forums. You get your own profile page, your own friends page, your own photo gallery, your own blog, video galaxy to videos to choose to watch for free. You have a free library of ebooks that you can download. We'll be back right after this. During this break, why don't you join? Welcome back. My guest this evening is Mike Orell. Now, Mike Orell was back in 1990 hiking, just a normal hiking trip, and he shot a photograph or two, and in these photographs captured a fleet of UFOs flying over the area where he was hiking. Since that time, as amazing as that is, since that time, the photographs have been analyzed. The photograph has been analyzed. And this has become, at least if you go by the way it's being reported in the media, and it's been reported a lot since 1990, it has become one of the most important UFO photographs ever. Mike Orell, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. We're delighted to have you with us.
Mr. Smith, thank you for having me on your show.
Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself before we dive off into this. Who is Mike Orell?
Well, I'm an artist, photographer, and a native San Diegan. And I've been hiking rural San Diego for the past 22 years with my best friend and girlfriend, Ronnie. And I'm currently on the disabled list because of a bad ticker. I worked for the County of San Diego for a number of years and was head of security, but unfortunately, my bad heart has relegated me to the sidelines. But nevertheless, I'm active in pursuing my art and photography, which has been in numerous galleries, and that's what got me out there that day to Inyaha Park in July of 1990.
All right, now on my website there is a photograph about tonight's show. Now that photograph is, I understand, now look, if I'm wrong, that's okay, just tell me, but I understand that's a photograph that you shot, and it's of the area where these UFOs were, is that right?
Yes, it was actually an accidental photograph as far as capturing these 10 acorn-shaped objects in the distant background. It was July 1st, 1990, and we accidentally discovered this park, my girlfriend and my buddy Bob, and at scenic spot number 7, we're looking at 18 miles at the San Diego River Valley, and I put my Canon EOS 650 camera on this rock wall and squeezed the trigger. And we kept on going on the trail because it was getting pretty late. And there's mountain lions in that area. And 2 weeks later, I get the film back from Thrifty's, and I saw these dots immediately. And blew them up on my own enlarger, which I...
Okay, now, this San Diego UFO Society, how did they respond to your video?
At the time, they told me that in order to properly judge the objects, that I would have to have them enlarged to grain. So I couldn't do that on my own enlarger. So I took it downtown where they blew up the picture. They took a picture of that and they blew it up some more. And that's when I got the photos back, and I realized these were definitely unidentified flying objects, because they seem to be reflecting the sun, and they also were the same relative size and shape. And then I discovered that one of them, a single craft on the right side of the valley, exactly matched the contour of the famous Kecksburg UFO that crash landed in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, back in, I think it was 65. And then I really knew I had something then.
Now, it matches the shape of the Kecksburg object. Witnesses described that as an acorn-shaped object. This object that you photographed is acorn-shaped, but it has something sticking off of it, right?
Right, and I couldn't see that until I got the enlargement back. And sure enough, two-thirds up the left side of the single craft is a spike-like projection. And I thought that was quite peculiar, and I started collecting UFO evidence wherever I could find it, in books, magazines, and on the TV. And sure enough, there was a program called Secrets and Mysteries, which no longer airs, and they revealed a photograph taken by astronaut James McDivitt on his Gemini 5 flight over Hawaii, and that exactly matched the projecting acorn shape that I had captured in my photograph. And that's when this whole thing started, that I realized that I had spectacularly captured, accidentally, this formation.
As you've looked into this, and you've you know, over the years you've researched it, you have come to refer to the Rosetta Stone of UFOs.
This is correct.
Okay, now, and for those who don't understand what is the Rosetta Stone, the Rosetta Stone is a stone that was found with the same thing written in three languages. And one of those languages was Greek, I believe, and one of those languages was in Egyptian hieroglyphics. And so for the first time, they were able to begin deciphering this mysterious language of the hieroglyphics. So the Rosetta Stone unlocked the Egyptian hieroglyphics. Up until then, they didn't have any idea what those things said or what they meant. When we say it's the Rosetta Stone of UFOs, what I guess you mean is it unlocks some information we didn't understand.
Yes, and James McDivitt wasn't the only acorn-shaped UFO photograph that I was able to collect. At the same time, Unsolved Mysteries aired an episode that featured Dorothy Izott, a contactee from Vancouver, and she had also captured a formation, and one of those objects was clearly acorn-shaped with a spike-like projection. And when I saw that, I realized that might be the first human in history to find a repeating pattern among UFO photographs. And that's when I hit the bookstores and made the most startling discovery of my life in a book by Marilyn Bridges called Markings. On page 9 and 27, there were projecting triangle shapes on the Nazca plane that closely resembled these UFO photographs, and I gave out a big huzzah because, in my opinion, I was the first to stumble upon what I believe is this UFO Rosetta Stone. And since then, of course, I've found numerous ancient artifacts, crop circles, and other markings at Nazca that match my UFO photograph and all these other ones.
And your photograph, which is, if folks want to see it, they can Google Inaja UFO photo. It's Inaja UFO photo.
Inaja.
How do you say it?
It's called Inaja.
Inaja.
That's the name of the park, Kevin, where I shot this photograph, just due east of San Diego in Santa Isabel. And it's a memorial park that, incredibly enough, was created for the memory of 11 firefighters who died fighting this fire at Inaja. And it was, the fire was one day before I was born. And let me tell you, when we saw this memorial marker at the entrance to this park that day I took the fateful photograph, we were sort of high-fiving like, hey, it's like destiny that we were there. But yes, if you were to Google my name, Mike Orell, O-R-R-E-L-L, they can get to my website, which leads into the link to my YouTube video as well.
Okay. Now, Mike, after you and I talked and you explained to me about this acorn shape, and you're, when you say acorn shape, it can be a triangle, it can be smooth and more acorn in shape, but the basic outline or basic shape of an acorn, and after we talked, I saw this video. In fact, I saw the video today. This fifth video that has surfaced, and by the way, thanks to our listener who sent me the link to that, fifth video that has surfaced from the sighting over the Dome of the Rock or Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Now, for those who are watching on our TV channel, you're about to see it, and it's very, very clear, and it's pretty spectacular, especially when we have that flash, because what we see in the flash is that there are two flashes.
I'm watching that.
There's two flashes. There's one that seems near the ground, and then one up in the sky above the UFO. And it's really pretty interesting. Now, when we zoom in on this UFO, this video is clear enough that we can zoom in. And when we zoom in, and just take a still shot of it, we can see that this UFO has some structure inside that ball of light. There's this, it's just a ball of light. But when you zoom in, you can see there is some structure in it. And that structure is basically the shape of a dreidel. Or we might say it's acorn-shaped, and it's got a stem at the top. Now, if you go on YouTube and search for this, you'll find a whole bunch of different versions of it. And one of them is zoomed in, and it's slow. It's slow motion. And you can see that, and that's where this still shot came from. But when you watch the video, you can see that this is not just a momentary artifact that I picked up in the photo. This little top notch, this little spindle that sticks up from the top of it, is there all the way through the video. And so I encourage people to go search that one out. But you can search it out, see it. It's in slow motion. And all the way through the incident, you can see that little top notch sticking up, that little spindle, that appendage sticking right up in the top of it. And I don't know. What do you make of that?
Wouldn't you say that that could be interpreted as a projection? And I got to tell you, Kevin, on my website, I have a link to one of those videos, and there were numerous videos taken from different angles. Mm-hmm. This January 28th event,
uh-huh,
which would have been very difficult to hoax from all those different angles. The one link that I have on my video or my website shows a close-up shot of that object, and it clearly looks acorn-shaped, and you can clearly see that projection on top of it, which I've interpreted, by the way, in our UFO photographs, to be a communication device of some sort. Now, Kevin, are you aware of what happened when this object zoomed up into the space above the Dome of the Rock?
Well, I know one video shows a bunch of dark red lights up there.
Yes, they were communicating as if there was a formation up there, just like I captured in my daylight photograph, July 1st, 1990. So, in my opinion, these are the same objects that are in my video, that are in these artifacts that have been coming to mankind for many, many years. If you look at the artifacts, you're going to see the same acorn shape is right next to Stonehenge. It's in Egyptian artifacts. It's on the Nazca Plain. It's in Mayan artifacts. And once again, I can't help but refer to this as the UFO Rosetta Stone. And I don't claim to be an expert ufologist. You know, I'm just your average Joe citizen. But this is so important that I did whatever I could to bring this to the attention of my fellow man. And I've got a lot of articles that back me up.
In fact, there's a whole lot of ancient art, as well as, well, I'm talking about medieval art, and then really ancient art, where it's carved on stones, petroglyphs, and clay tablets, that show things in the sky shaped very much like what we're looking at here.
Yes. It's a repeating pattern that is hard to ignore, which is why the Los Angeles Times and Tony Perry, who's the bureau chief, saw the evidence. He's the first guy to challenge me to prove my theory to him, and he was shocked. And the following article set the pace for all the other front page features that would follow. And he claims that I'm San Diego's premier UFO enthusiast, and he talked about how I've linked it to Nazca and elsewhere. And for anybody who's into UFOs, this might be the best evidence you're going to come up with. Don't count on SETI, because SETI from what I just heard on my favorite Ancient Aliens programs, even if they did get a call on their radio telescopes, they're not going to tell us about it. They're going to tell the government and just keep it to themselves. This event is for all of mankind, and whoever's listening, if you're on the table about whether UFOs exist, this might just put you over the edge into the belief category. What do you think, Kevin?
Oh, well, maybe, but I don't believe anything. Either they exist or they don't. And if they exist, it's like a doorknob. What is there to believe? It's just there. There's nothing to believe about them, unless they are not real. If they are real, there's nothing to believe. They just exist. Like doorknobs, Volkswagens, and beer cans.
That's what Carl Sagan said, you know, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence.
Yeah, but I don't buy that either. I'll tell you why when we come back from this break. Oh, yeah. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Mike Orell. Mike, as we went to break, you brought up something that Carl Sagan made famous. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And he used to say it was such mystique. And everybody just sort of bowed down to that as though that were true. But I'm here to tell you, as a lifelong cop, that is total BS. And let me give you an example why. Pick a president, any president, doesn't matter. And let's say somebody makes a claim that the president has committed murder. That's a fairly extraordinary claim. But what it takes to prove that he committed murder is exactly the same evidence that it takes to prove you did it. So there is no such thing as extraordinary evidence. There's evidence. And there's extraordinary convolution in the minds of debunkers trying to get around the evidence. But there's no such thing. Extraordinary evidence doesn't even exist.
Well, I hope you aren't offended if I disagree.
Well, that's fine. It doesn't. What kind of extraordinary evidence do you think could possibly exist?
Well, in my particular case, I have got a collection of rejection letters from everybody from Steven Spielberg to National Geographic and the scientific community.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I decided I really had to tighten up the evidence. I had to really get as professional as an amateur could get in presenting my case theory. And when I came up with five separate UFO photographs that all have the same projecting acorn shape, and I matched that with literally countless ancient artifacts, that, in my opinion, was extraordinary evidence.
Well, no, it may be surprising evidence. But evidence is evidence. There's only just evidence. They're photographs.
Whatever word you want, Kevin.
Yeah, they're just photographs. And
true.
And you know, the there's absolutely no such thing exists as extraordinary evidence. There are things that we don't know, and we are surprised when we find it. We're excited when we find it, but it was there all the time. We just didn't find it yet. So that's why I say it's not extraordinary. It's there. It's just evidence. But there has been extraordinary convolution in the minds of debunkers. And so, you know, you're right. You have to tighten up your case. Look, there was overwhelming evidence, in my opinion, in the O.J. Simpson trial. But there was no such thing as extraordinary evidence. It was just all ordinary, but there was a whole bunch of it. So it became an overwhelming body of evidence. And they lost that case because they didn't have the evidence wrapped up tight. They didn't present their case right. And they presented some stuff that was not evidence. They presented some stuff that actually was planted.
Right.
Yeah, there's no such thing as extraordinary evidence. There's just evidence, and put together in a good case, then they have to do extraordinary convolution to deny the evidence.
And, you know, that's what started me off at first, by the way, is my background in metaphysics in the 70s. Kevin, when my father died, he was a San Diego police sergeant, and I wanted to know what happened to him, so I started studying metaphysics, and I learned about UFOs and how they do exist, and when they come into our dimension, they have to change their camouflage from, say, a silicon environment to a carbon environment, and why they're here. Apparently they're gardeners of the earth. They help seed our planet. And 20 years later, here I am. I'm not even thinking about UFOs. And I see this picture with these dots in the background. And I show it to my friend, who is a photographer. And he says, "That's a nice photo of ducks." And then I approach Seth Shostak, who is a SETI researcher. And I said, "Mike, they're probably airplanes." Well, I had to put my foot down and as an artist and photographer, decide for myself what these objects were. And I needed to be convinced myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started finding these other UFO photographs that have the same projecting acorn shape, to me, it was extraordinary.
Now, yeah, to you, it seemed extraordinary. But those photographs existed because there was an object off of which light was reflecting, and a camera captured it, and that's all very ordinary.
I agree. It's ordinary to me now.
Mm-hmm.
And some people who are going to be looking at the evidence in my YouTube video, I've got emails where they're just astounded.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't used the word extraordinary yet, but I think that this has never been accomplished before. It's the first time in history that anybody has found a repeating pattern in a number of different UFOs, and as and a professional that you are, Kevin, have you ever seen another pattern that somebody has found in different UFO photographs?
Well, being professional about it as an investigator, I would have to say I never considered it, so I can't say that I've noticed it. So I was never looking for a repeating pattern. But then I'm not a UFO investigator. I was a criminal investigator. Repeating patterns are one of the things you look for, especially if you're looking for serial killers or serial rapists or something like that. You look for repeating patterns. I just never have looked for that in UFOs. But let me ask you this. The acorn shape with the appendage on it, apparently has been around for a very long time because it shows up in clay tablets, it shows up in ancient carvings, in petroglyphs. What do you think is the significance of that? What's that all about? It's a repeating pattern, but what does it mean?
I am convinced that aliens want us to know not only that they exist, but that they are all for mankind, and that, matter of fact, I just got through seeing all the airline pilots coming with their eyewitness evidence and the tape-recorded cockpit recorders that show these huge objects that they would know whether they were standard aircraft, and they're not. I believe that these aliens want us to know they exist, which is why they are showing up in record numbers, like over the Dome of the Rock. That was a purposely designed event. They knew witnesses would capture them on air, and there's a reason for it. I believe, according to metaphysics, that as the Mayan long count calendar comes to an abrupt end on December 21st, 2012, that there is going to be a geophysical event of epic proportions in the form of a polar shift. And now that we just had this devastating earthquake in Japan, which apparently, according to 2020 on Sunday, is the fifth largest in our history and actually affected our Earth's wobble, I believe that they're preparing us for contact and that something is going to happen on or around that date. What do you think of that?
Well, according to the Mayans, the end of their calendar is simply the end of an era and the beginning of the next one. And the era that they describe as coming to an end ends with a lot of catastrophes. And so I think what we have, if there's significance to it, is this. As we ramp up toward December the 21st, 2012, we will have a lot of catastrophes. They're going to be spectacular, and they're going to be rather frequent. And then when we hit that December 21st, 2012, if the Mayans are correct, that's the end of that age and the beginning of the next age. And so that would be the top of the bell curve, so to speak, and we would begin to subside back geophysical catastrophes would begin to subside back down toward what we would consider normal. So I think that's where we hit the peak, and then it begins to subside.
Well, here's another thought for you, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
According to Edgar Cayce, America's sleeping prophet, there's going to be a shift of our magnetic poles, and it's going to happen in, quote, the blink of an eye. It's going to produce 500-mile-an-hour winds. It's going to level everything on the planet. Now, there's a lot of scientists who say this is pseudoscience. There's no evidence for it. But there is evidence that we are over 230,000 years overdue for the next shift. And they found this out by taking core samples of volcanic rock. Mm-hmm. And they can see that the shift happens every 420,000 years, give or take a few 10,000 years, and it's been 700,000 years since the last shift. Now, why such a delay? Now, it's my opinion that the pyramids, as well as Stonehenge, and possibly the 1908 blast in Siberia, has helped delay the precessional wobble from flipping us entirely over. Now, that's just my unprofessional opinion, but I believe these aliens and UFOs are making themselves shown in such large quantities around the world in preparation for what may be a biblical rapture, that those who say follow the Ten Commandments will be selected to be part of the next evolutionary stage of mankind. And I would hope that everybody listening to this would want to be part of this, has the right attitude to be re-educated, because all these abduction cases that have produced half alien, half humans, they've already been trained, in my opinion, to retrain those who are selected to be part of this next spiritual evolution, which I believe is going to happen on or around.
All right, now let me ask you about this pole shift. Do you think that it's going to be a magnetic pole shift, or is it going to be an actual geophysical pole shift where the Earth physically spins over?
According to the San Diego Union Tribune, the magnetic poles are moving 40 miles a year, and they just had to reset all sorts of barometers for that at airports in Florida because it's shifting so fast. Now, there are people that believe that the inner molten core is the one that shifts as it moves back and forth. But, like the orange peel around an orange, there are many others who believe that we are simply going to slide around that molten core until we get in the proper position. And if you look at the woolly mammoths who were found in snow that had daisies in their stomach, mm-hmm. there's evidence that this could happen in the blink of an eye. And, you know, a lot of people thought it was going to happen in May 5th, the year 2000, when the planets aligned. It didn't happen then, but with the coming of this 2012 event, with the sun dropping in the middle of our galaxy, as well as the completion of the 26,000-year precessional wobble of our Earth, who knows if that might be the straw that broke the camel's back. And if we look at what happened in Japan, that's not going to be the end of it. That's actually in Revelations, chapter 6, 12 through 14, that's going to happen.
Well, and I think there are going to be a great many catastrophes all the way up to this end of the Mayan calendar. But, you know, you bring up Revelation. One of the things that I find very interesting, and I've been doing this show now for a long time, about 10 years. Well, as a matter of fact, in May it'll be 11 years.
You're doing a great job, too.
Well, thank you. But one of the things I find very interesting is I have a lot of people that bring up Revelation on the show, and that's fine. There's no problem with that. But they only bring up part of it. And I get a lot of email from folks who, after I make my comments about it's not going to be an earth buster, I get email and, you know, like, when are you going to open your eyes? I got one from one nut with brain rash that said that I'm RH positive monkey. The problem is my RH positive monkey brain. I know about all that. But here's the deal. If we're going to bring up Revelation, we have to bring it up all, not part of it. And what you have in the book of Revelation is after all these catastrophes and most of the population, 2/3 of the population, has been wiped out, then things settle back down, and then you have 1,000 years of peace. But what happens before the 1,000 years of peace is you have the landing of a mothership, actually described in the book of Revelation, and it's gigantic. It's about 1,400 miles by 1,400 miles by 1,400 miles. The writer of Revelation says, I looked and I saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, coming down out of heaven like a bride adorned for her groom. And it lands right on top of Mount Zion. And it's 1,400 miles in every direction. Now that's a mother ship. That's huge.
That is huge.
Okay, now all of that 1,000 years and the landing of the mothership and all of that happens way after December the 21st, 2012. So if Revelation is true, and everybody has to make up their own mind about what they think about that, and I'm not saying that it is true or that you should believe it's true, but if it's true, then December the 21st, 2012 ain't no earth buster. We survive it.
Of course. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we survive it. The race survives it. And the species survives it. and lives 1,000 years of peace, and then they all get on this mothership and they leave either to a completely different part of the universe or to a completely different universe, because it says that where they go, it's a new heaven and a new earth. And the word for heaven is not the, you know, the spiritual, wonderful place with angels playing harps. It's the word for sky. There's a new sky and a new earth. So all of that's coming if Revelation is true, and that's why I say, it's one reason that I say, that December the 21st is not going to be an earthbuster. It's going to be tough, but it's going to be tough. It's tough right now, and it's going to keep getting tougher until December 21st, 2012, and then it starts to level out. That's why... to the religious folks, that's why I say what I say about it. To those who are not religious, and I'm not, the same sorts of things can be found in Nostradamus. The same sorts of things can be found in Edgar Cayce and some other prophets that way beyond December the 21st, 2012, they have prophecies of what's going on the planet.
Certainly is subject to interpretation, but along that line, let me ask you this. Of course, you're familiar with the number one abduction case on planet Earth, and that is the Betty and Barney Hill abduction.
Yeah.
Now, Betty was smart and bold enough to ask these aliens about this star map.
Hey, you know what?
Pointed out.
Listen, we'll have to get to that when we get back. My automation software is not doing its thing tonight for some reason, and I have overshot the runway. We missed our break. I apologize to our affiliate stations, but here we go, folks, and we'll be back. I had to cut you off in mid-sentence because of the weird stuff that the software is doing, and it's still being weird. But I want you to be able to finish the thought that you were presenting to us.
Can I finish now?
Yeah, please do.
We were talking about abduction cases.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, they've been very benevolent. They actually will tuck the people back in their bed, and except for cases like in the movie The Fourth Kind, which these aliens did not seem as benevolent as some other ones. But we talk about Betty Hill, one of the first abduction cases. And she asked the aliens what the star map was about, and they told her that the broken lines to different planets were expeditionary routes, like the one to our planet, but that the solid lines were trading routes. So my idea is that we're being prepared to be Grand Central Station for galactic entrepreneurs, and that eventually we are going to be settled by aliens, as well as have away teams, which may be our militaries converted into away teams, and that these aliens will strongly benefit mankind with their knowledge of how to manipulate atoms and molecules. And even in Revelations chapter 21:4, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." And I believe that's exactly what's going to happen on or around 2012, because we certainly can't keep going the way we are, and the shift is right around the corner.
Well, you might be right. You know, what I say about Revelation is people that are always bringing it up on the show, and like I said, that's fine, but generally they don't take the thing all the way to the end of the book. And when you do, what you find out is there was some tough, tough times, but it was not an earth killer. And, you know, really tough times. But we, as a species, survive it and actually then go on to thrive. And if December the 21st, 2012, if that is a really huge cataclysm, if it is, and if it is part of what's prophesied in Revelation, then that would validate Revelation. And so then we would have to say, start counting right then, and you got 1,000 years left.
Right. And that 1,000 years, and somewhere there's supposed to be 7 years of tribulation, and who knows if we're in the 7 years, and when is the Antichrist going to show up, or if he has already twice with Hitler and Napoleon, like I've seen on the television programs. But either way, we've got 647 days left, Kevin, till that 2012 countdown date. And I've been doing this for 21 years now, since I took that UFO photograph, trying to, quote, spread the UFO gospel. And unfortunately, because I'm not a scientist or a professional, it hasn't been that easy. And thanks to open-minded people like yourself and some writers and producers, we're getting this story out, which may be the key to us having enough faith and belief that this event is going to be benefit to mankind.
Well, you know, we are in rough sledding right now that no one, absolutely,
from sea to shining sea throughout the solar system and extending to interstellar regions beyond. This is
my software is demon possessed. My software is demon possessed.
That's a confirmation that I'm talking truth here.
I don't know what is happening here. Oh, you know, and it worked just great. It worked fine on Friday. It worked fine all day today. I don't know what's the deal. But anyway, we'll let's see what we can do about this. Let me click a couple of things here. Okay. Now it's working, and it says we have to go to break. We'll come back. It gets curiouser and curiouser. You will be pleased to know I discovered where the demons resided in the software and what was happening. Pretty simple. Remember that we had a complete meltdown. We had a computer that just absolutely died, and it was the main computer on a network. And when we got everything reinstalled, replacement computer in, everything reinstalled, we had an atomic clock on the main network computer, the old one, and it updated for daylight savings time, and it propagated to the other computers on the network. I didn't put that back in, and so the other computers each had their own atomic clock. but I didn't reinstall it in this one. And the other computers had their own atomic clock because this one was down. I had to put it on the others. So anyway, that's the deal. Mechanics error. And what I did is reset that manually. And so the software will work for the rest of the program. I know it will. All right, Mike Orrell, we were talking about, you know, these, the connection of UFOs to this, the what some people would, in popular culture, they call it end times, or they call it end of days. And I think those are misnomers. I don't think they're correct. It's not the end times. It's not the end of days. If Revelation is correct, if Nostradamus is correct, if Edgar Cayce is correct, there's a great deal of time left yet on this planet. And but the end of an era, yes, that's pretty evident. But the connection of the UFOs to that can be seen in the book of Revelation, in that you have this gigantic mothership that lands. And by the way, most people have not stopped to think about the shape of it. It's 1,400 miles by 1,400 by 1,400. Now, you could say that's a cube, but that can also be a pyramid.
Right.
It can be 1,400 miles in every direction and be a pyramid. Now, imagine something that's 1,400 miles high. Imagine something that's 1,400 miles in every direction around its base. You're talking about a huge, huge, gigantic object, the likes of which we have never seen. But since if that's correct and it lands on top of Mount Zion, if that's what happens, you have what we call a UFO. It wasn't built by any Air Force on this planet. That's a UFO. And there's a connection between a lot of the catastrophes and UFOs. I watched today, Mike, a video of a fleet of UFOs over the epicenter of the Japan earthquake just before the earthquake. There's a video of that.
And what about the UFOs who apparently disarmed our nuclear missiles in their silos? I think that was at Edwards Air Force Base. I think that was a sign of the fact that they don't want us to destroy ourselves. Apparently that has happened in various civilizations of the past that we have no memory of, according to metaphysics. But once again, Kevin, you talk about end-time scenarios, and we look at all the die-offs of the life-form species. We just had millions of anchovies show up dead, and they tried to explain it off as lack of oxygen. We had all the birds die off, just fall out of the skies, and I think it was cows. And now we have devastating earthquakes, like what happened in the 2004 tsunami earthquake in Indonesia, in Haiti, in New Zealand, and now with Japan, terrible disaster there. I think that these aliens are letting us know that they're around and that they're going to be coming back, possibly in motherships. And I know I, for one, want to be included if they plan on lifting us off the Earth before this possible shift. And I don't know about these people who think they're going to hide in missile silos converted, but I really think that something's going to happen, Kevin, and it's coming soon.
Are you aware of the fact that in the Gulf of California, there yesterday was a swarm of earthquakes?
No.
Yeah. All right, tell you what I want to do. You and I are going to continue talking, but I want to invite the audience to join us. And as I say, folks, all the time, look, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm pretty sharp. But it's just one brain, and I can't think of every question and every comment. And the reason you're thinking of the question you're thinking of right now is because the God or gods of the cosmos have put it in your head to think of it. And it's because the rest of us need to think about it. But the only way we can do that is if you will share it with us. And so we open up the telephone lines and invite you to do so. The telephone number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. Now, you can contact that number. You can call that number from any place on planet Earth. Okay, it works from anywhere. In the USA and Canada, I have a toll-free number. If you need to call me toll-free, you may do so. It is 888-223-4599. If you are not in the USA and you are not in Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for the rest of the world. Doesn't exist. So what I've done is I've put a flash message option on my website. Go to my website, scroll down. You see the picture of Mike Orrell? To the right of that picture, you'll see a link that says flash message, and that's for you if you're not in the USA, not in Canada. Or, like I said, you can call the number 623-444-5889 from any place on Terra. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Haya from Victoria, British Columbia.
Hello, Haya.
Hi. Listen, you were talking about you just saw some footage on UFOs over Japan.
Yeah.
Well, because I've been listening since this happened, and I've been looking at a lot of footage, what I've noticed is they're not coming from the air either. They're coming from the water. There's a few pieces of footage out there that if you watch when the tsunami's coming in, you can see an actual UFO coming out from the tsunami.
I saw that. It blew me away. But the one I was talking about, Haya, is a fleet of UFOs over the epicenter before the quake happened. And somebody got some shots of a fleet of UFOs before the quake. And then after the quake and then the resulting tsunami, you're right. There is footage where you can see that UFO coming right up out of the tsunami, out of the water.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah. It's pretty...
It's all over. I mean, as I said, there's so many people taking so many, photographs of what's happened. It's just like you sit there and think, oh my God, you know? And then there's other footage out there. There's a gentleman out there, and he's been talking to the Japanese. And one of the things he managed to find out is the reason why during 2008 that they ended up allowing the oligarchs and some of the royalty as far as the Japanese banking system, they were threatened. They were threatened with the HAARP.
Why?
And it is videotaped.
Why were they threatened?
Because they didn't agree with, they didn't want to go around with the Ponzi schemes. They said no, and they don't agree with what the New World Order wants to do. So they're totally against it, and they're very for their population, and they were threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were concerned about their people, they kind of bow to that. But it looks like there's other photos up there that HAARP was, by the way, there.
HAARP was active during the earthquake?
Yeah.
I'll have to check on that. That's
looking out for the past few days, and mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently there is a HAARP signature there.
If you will, Haya, send me the link to that information. I have not found that.
No problem.
I'm sorry?
I'll do that.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Well, what do you think about that, Mike? HAARP?
That's very interesting. You know, they say UFOs are in the water as well, and they might have some home bases deep down below. They can travel very fast underwater.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, why would they be there? What do you think about that, Kevin?
Oh, I don't know. One of the things I often say is when we're not given all the data, when we don't have all the data, then all speculation is valid. And, if powers that be don't want us to speculate certain things, the cure for that is tell us the truth. I speculate, and I can't say this is what I believe. I just can imagine that this would be the case. extraterrestrials have been coming to this planet possibly for millions of years.
I agree.
But certainly for several hundred thousand years, they've been coming here. And, one of the safest places to be on this planet, if you can stand the environment, is underwater. You're sheltered when you're deep underwater. You're sheltered from harmful radiation. And until recently in history, you were sheltered from the barbarians that live on the surface. Fairly recently in history, we developed submarines and weapons that can work underwater. But until then, it was a very, very safe place to be. And so I can imagine that they would build bases underwater. It would, tactically, it would make sense.
Right.
Yeah. All right, let me give the phone number again, and then you and I will continue. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll free 888-223-4599. Now, Mike, I want to ask you about the repeating pattern. Not all UFOs that have been photographed and not all UFOs that have been observed and then eyewitness testimony given were the acorn shape. A lot of them are, we would say, disc-shaped. A lot of them are cigar-shaped. And some of them are delta-shaped. So they're not all acorn-shaped, although the acorn shape is a repeating pattern. Is it possible? I mean, we look at the different shapes and different types of these UFOs, is it possible that this thing with the UFOs is because of different species, different civilizations? Or
exactly.
Are they different because of function?
I believe that many civilizations who've got a way head start on us and have achieved interstellar space travel are coming to our planet in different sizes and shapes, and metaphysics actually confirms this and says that a lot of them are gathering specifically to watch our planet flip upside down. That's right out of metaphysics. It's going to be an entertaining event for them, as well as the fact that they may be here as official representatives of our God. Apparently, they're the same ones who helped Moses make it through the Sinai for 40 years in that cloud and pillar of smoke. They're the ones who abducted Ezekiel. And how many other references to UFOs are in the Bible? But I believe if they've got to the point in their evolutionary cycle that they've achieved interstellar flight, then they're going to make it to our dimension. And accordingly, there's different dimensions, and they have to put on their carbon camouflage in order to get in our dimension. And Kevin, I can't believe all the space shuttle video of these different objects flying around outside our atmosphere. I mean, that's extraordinary evidence, if ever there was.
No, it's just video. It's just video. And the video cameras are not extraordinary at all. And, you know, if they the video cameras are just going to videotape whatever is there. And as I say, if it's there, it's there. If they exist, they exist.
And some of these objects that they videotaped were invisible until they entered our atmosphere when they took on their circular shape.
Mm-hmm.
They could be right out there right now, or possibly in the form of rods. You know about rods?
Yeah.
These long, mile-long tubular shapes that cruise so fast that they're only captured on a high-speed video. There's all sorts of life forms out there that we're just not quite aware of, and hopefully one day we will be.
What benefit is there, Mike? I get asked this. I'm going to toss the ball to you.
The benefit of aliens.
Okay, no, here we go. What benefit is it to get this information out to the public? How do they benefit by knowing this?
I'll tell you, this is exactly why. It's the power of thought. We have to willingly ask to be saved. It's something that mankind needs to get a grip on, and each individual, the power of your thoughts, which have substance, will go out to a manifestation point, and it comes back, and the next thing you know, you have manifested whatever it is that you're passionate about. And it's in the Bible that if you even think about adultery, it's as if you committed it. Our thoughts are being read, and individually, we all have spirit guides, and that's why I'm asking everybody who's listening to this to take a moment, and if you will, get down on your knees, ask to be part of the new spiritual evolution and be saved by these aliens and take on the attitude that you are willing to be retrained and that you will give up violence of all kind. Even if you've committed murder and you're in jail, there is nobody who cannot be saved. That's why I'm definitely against the death penalty, and I have forgiveness in my heart. Forgive as you would be forgiven.
Okay, now let me play the devil's advocate. Why should we think the aliens are coming here to save us when they apparently haven't done so in the past? There's evidence of many previous civilizations on this planet that were wiped out, antediluvian civilizations wiped out. Nobody saved them.
Well, according to metaphysics, by the way, Atlantis blew up because the Atlanteans were tampering with a UFO, and that UFO exploded. But the answer to that question is, once again, they disabled armed nuclear missiles in their silos. They tuck the abductees back in their bed. And these are the good aliens, because if you've seen the movie The Fourth Kind, have you, Kevin? Have you seen the movie The Fourth Kind?
Yes, I have. But let me tell you, that movie was proven to be fiction from start to finish. That doctor never existed, and those alleged interview tapes were all staged.
That's interesting, because those were definitely malevolent entities when they hurt their abductees and break their necks, whereas in these acorn-shaped UFOs, which I believe have been benevolent towards mankind, are here as gardeners and emissaries from God. And, you know, if people ask for evidence of ET, you only have to look at the 2010 crop circles. They are so precise in their geometric patterns, and there's one recently, two different crop circles that form an image of Jesus, which I'm about to build a link for on my website. Now,
okay, look, let's get this call and we'll come back to that. I've made a note and I want us to come back to that and discuss that a bit in depth about them being emissaries from God. But let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Kathy in Las Vegas. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Kathy.
Kevin, you were saying that perhaps that people weren't saved. Well, maybe because people didn't ask to be saved.
No, I didn't say that.
So
that was me, Kathy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from, Kathy. I did say this. You're right. When I was talking about the previous civilizations and the aliens didn't save them.
Well,
yeah, I did say that.
The 2012 ascension is when everybody decides that they want to ask for help.
Maybe. I don't know. We will see. But I don't, you know, I don't see any evidence. I don't see any track record that says these ETs are coming here to rescue us from us. And frankly, if we can't stop being what we are, if we're so addicted to the insanity that we just can't stop being insane, we probably don't deserve to survive it.
I believe that there are some people that are that won't be changed, and that they won't survive, and they'll be part of those that are not chosen to be part of the next spiritual phase, Kathy.
All right, both of you, if you will, just hang on, and we'll get back to you right after this break. Don't go away, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Mike Orell, and on the telephone with us, Kathy from Las Vegas. I just wanted to complete this thought and let both of you have the opportunity to comment on it before we move on. The thought is, I haven't seen any evidence, any track record that leads me to think that these are anything other than what many of the ancient texts refer to them. The Bible calls them watchers. The Quran mentions the watchers. The Buddhists talk about, I'm not sure that they use the term watcher, but they just observe. A lot of the ancient texts just talk about them as observers. They are sort of like private security guards whose job it is to observe and report. It's only the rogues, just like in private security, it's the rogues that step out of that role of observing and watching and take some kind of action. And usually with private security, he ends up getting arrested for it. I think they're just watchers. Now, I'll let both of you comment on that because it's just an opinion, and every opinion is valid.
Kathy,
I have a question for Mike as well. The acorn is an archetype, some believe, for the pineal gland, and the acorn also is on the staff of the Pope, and there's that enormous acorn statue at the Vatican. So perhaps that's a signal to the acorn-shaped extraterrestrials from that, a signal to them, or some sort of communication going on.
That's interesting. The pineal gland is the seat of the soul. Metaphysics talks about the triangle shape as it contains energy. And you'll see on my website that I claim to have solved the Barbary Castle crop circle, which metaphysics confirms that atoms and molecules send messages, and if you look at the crop circle, it exactly matches an image that I took off the TV of a triangle shape with three different interstellar molecules on each end, and the center shows lines going to the middle and making a circle, which I believe consciousness is being formed. Now, abductees, they claim that they are taken right through a wall. In other words, these aliens have the ability to manipulate the vibrating atoms and molecules and return these people back to their beds, tuck them right back in, and I believe that these aliens definitely are emissaries from God, and they've proved it, as I said earlier, by helping us maintain our geophysical place in orbit by creating the pyramids, as well as maybe Stonehenge, and thus offsetting our precessional wobble. We should have already shifted, and which would have exterminated everybody on the planet. I think that they're also in the Bible. So these aliens are definitely on our team, and that acorn shape is definitely a sacred one, which you can see in numerous ancient artifacts.
All right, Kathy, thank you for the call. Interesting. We have a flash message from Anthony in the Netherlands. He says, I believe these ships to be different from all other. It's not only the shape, but more important, the light that emits from them. These are light ships, and we need to listen to Mike Orrell. We need to listen more to Mike Orrell. And thank you, Anthony. Well, you certainly got a fan in the Netherlands, Mike.
I like to hear that.
Well, look, I got a question about this. Are all of these emitting light? We do see it in this video from Jerusalem. But are all of them emitting light like this?
That's a very good question. And, you know, I claim an amateur status about that. But if you look at that Jerusalem video, they're certainly emitting light. And now during my daylight photograph, by the way, I never told you this, Kevin, but in an enlargement, I just discovered 4 months ago, after 20-some years of having taken this photograph, that the fourth object from the left actually has a beam that pierces through it. It goes all the way to the ground in a straight line and then all the way straight up out of frame. And I can only imagine where that beam was going straight up, possibly to a mothership. But the famous Kexper UFO emanated a blue light when it crashed in Kexper, Pennsylvania. And
Now let me, before we get away from that beam, for those who are watching our TV channel, I've got the still photo back up here. And if you'll look very carefully at the still photo of this Jerusalem UFO, you can see coming directly down from that UFO to the ground, but sort of at an angle to the left, you can see a transparent, disturbed area that looks like some sort of beam or energy. Can you see that?
I see a bit of a light going up, but
What I'm talking about is not light. It's transparent, but you see parallel, the width of that ship, parallel, headed towards the ground. It's transparent, but it's disturbed as though it's some sort of energy.
Are you talking about directly underneath it, Kevin?
Exactly, directly underneath it, and the width of it. It's the same width as the ship.
I see what you're talking about.
Okay.
But I can't tell if that's because there's no light in the background or if it's actually a disturbed area.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. But but you do see what I'm talking about.
I certainly see that projection on top.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about light. I'm talking about just take the left side of that ship and the right side of that ship and go parallel down.
Right. Okay. It looks a little fuzzy, like there is some sort of aberration underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think caused the flash of light as it took off?
Well, you know, I don't know. I had a guest on last week, as a matter of fact, on the show where I almost died, quite literally. He said that people that he had been talking to, somebody that he had been talking to, who is ex-military, said that, saw the video and said, that's ordnance. In other words, artillery.
I was wondering, did somebody try to shoot at the object?
I don't know. But you can see definitely in the video, in the one that I'm showing on the TV channel, there are two flashes, and one of those flashes is in the sky up and to the right of the UFO. And I'll let it...
That object demonstrates is not of this world.
It's the flashes are about to happen on the TV channel.
Right.
And you see one that's in the air. One of the flashes is in the air up and to the right of the UFO, above and to the right of it. So I don't know what those are. I don't know if those actually were emitted from the UFO or if that was some type of weapon that was fired at the UFO. I don't know.
That is amazing. What do you think of the significance of the fact that it came down over the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem?
I'm not sure that there is significance, but if there is, the question is, did it come down over the Dome of the Rock or over the Temple Mount? It depends on which religion you are. Because it's exactly the same spot.
Well, it certainly came down with a purpose.
Well, it appears to, yeah.
To be seen.
Mm-hmm. It appears. And, you know, there are people who sent me email and said, aha, you see, this validates Islam. And there are others who sent me email and said it validated Judaism, and others, a couple of others that said it validates Christianity. I'm not sure it validates anything, but it may have some significance to that spot. And here is why I say that. That why was that spot chosen to build Solomon's temple, the original temple that was there? Why that spot? And then later, much later, when Muhammad comes along, why is it they say at that spot? I believe that's where he, what, ascended?
Yes.
At that spot. So it becomes, it's first it was holy to the Jews for some reason, and they built a temple there. Now, you know, I think Jews and Christians would say, well, that's because God told them to. Okay, all right. Now, I'm not saying that didn't happen, but why there? And then why Muhammad there? I think the answer to that question links us to the extraterrestrial connection for that spot. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so whatever the answer is to that question may be the answer to why that UFO came to that spot.
I think that's a location of three of the great religions of the world, that all three contain great truth, and that we are all citizens of this planet. We are the human species. And I believe God loves us all, and that we're coming to the point where we need to forget our ancient rivalries and all the hatred that we're teaching our children, and start looking after each other like the brothers that we are. Because pretty soon, we're going to be mixing with space brothers, according to the Vatican that has labeled them space brothers, and that what a perfect place for aliens to show themselves to benefit all mankind. We're all in this together.
Well, there's a flip side to that. It's sort of the yin and the yang. The flip side is that it is a spot that is holy to three great religions, and each of those great religions has been responsible for the massacre of hundreds of thousands of people. And, you know, the cries of holy, holy, holy fall on deaf ears and ring sort of hollow when you look at all of the blood they've shed to maintain their grip on power. Each of those three religions have done that. And but I think the significance, if there is one, is locked up into why that spot. Why is that spot holy to the Jews and they built a temple there? Why is that spot holy to the Muslims and they've built a mosque there? Why is that spot important?
You know, Kevin, inside the Dome of the Rock, on that rock, there is a square rectangle.
Okay, hang on. We have to take a break. And when we come back from this break, I want you to pick up right there in the Dome of the Rock. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest this evening, Mike Orell. And we are talking about the connection between UFOs and great events that happen, big events that happen. At the moment, we're talking about the my question, why that particular spot, the Dome of the Rock, the Temple Mount, it's exactly the same spot. Why is that place important? And Mike, you were telling us something about inside the Dome of the Rock, that there's something special on the rock.
Yes, inside the Dome of the Rock, there is the huge rock where the great prophet and statesman Muhammad, blessings and peace upon him, apparently rose up to heaven, as well as there is a rectangular space where they say that the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, rested, which contained the tablets that were the Ten Commandments. So what better place for emissaries from God to make a divine appearance that was captured apparently in at least six or seven different videos as ultimate proof that UFOs not only exist, but that they are from a divine source. At least that's my opinion.
Okay, but let's go back beyond that. Let's go back. Before there was the Dome of the Rock, there was the wreckage of Herod's temple, totally destroyed in 70 to 72 AD by the Roman emperor. But prior to that, there was Herod's temple. And it was gigantic and magnificent by all descriptions. But prior to that was Solomon's temple. And, well, that's not true. The ruins of Solomon's temple, because it had been destroyed by invaders, principally Babylonian. All right, but what about we go back beyond that and we get back to Solomon's temple. There it stands in that spot, but there was a time when it didn't. When Solomon was a boy growing up, the king was David. That was his father. There was no temple. Some reason exists for why Solomon decided to build the temple and put the so-called Holy of Holies with the Ark of the Covenant right there on that spot. What was the reason for that? The answer you get from theologians is God told him to. And my question is, why? Why did God say that spot? What's significant about that spot? Whatever it is, if these if these UFOs are, as you say, emissaries from God, then there has to be a reason why that spot. If we go all the way back to when there was no temple, there was no mosque, there was nothing except a mountain. Actually, a tall hill. So why, if I accept, and I'll stipulate to this, God told Solomon, build the temple here. Why? Why here?
It was obviously holy ground.
Why? Yeah, but why? And, you know, the answer to that question I don't have, but the answer to that question I think would explain why there have been so many phenomenal events that have happened there. And by phenomenal, I mean phenomena. UFOs, angels appearing, miracles happening on that spot. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I'm just going to speculate for a moment.
All right.
Is it possible that the Dome of the Rock, Temple Mount, that particular spot could be a confluence of what some people call ley lines, other people call energy lines of the planet? I don't know, but could that be a possibility? Because that would be it would make things easier for whatever runs off that kind of energy.
I like that idea.
It could be. You know, there's a possibility that that's the case, and that perhaps that contributes to that being a very easily accessible portal. So that these, some people would say supernatural, I would say extraterrestrial beings, can come and go very easily through the portal. That may be a possibility as well.
Those ley lines apparently surround the Earth, Brent, by the way. And that's a very good hypothesis.
Just a thought.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Brent, thanks for the call. Yeah, very possible. Not everyone subscribes to my view, and some people think I should not have a view, but we all do. We all have an opinion, and every opinion is as valid as anybody else's opinion. An opinion is an opinion. My opinion is that there has to be some reason why it's a... Let's stipulate that God says to Solomon, build your temple right here. And that's why Solomon did it. But then in answer to the question, so why did God say, do it here? There has to be some benefit to God for why that's built there. There has to be some reason why that's good for God for that to be built there. My opinion. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi. you didn't mention this, and maybe I'm wrong, but... I thought the Dome of the Rock was where Abraham ascended.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I'm not Muslim, so I don't know.
Well, I actually visited the Dome of the Rock, and I was pretty young. I was in my 20s, and I didn't really understand much, but... what I remember seeing is just this rock, and it was surrounded by a wooden kind of not fencing, but just very fine woodworks surrounding the actual rock.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I remember is that that's where Abraham ascended. And, but I wasn't aware that that also involved Mohammed. So you got some confluence of energies. And I would go with Brent, who's, you know, suggesting that, that maybe there is a confluence of ley lines as well.
Well, there could be.
I tend to think that, the two go together, energy, earth energies combined with stories that we have of...
of supernatural stuff.
You know, religious figures. Mm-hmm. It would make sense that they would also be, right on those PowerPoints. So.
All right, John. I wish we had more time. We do not. We are out of time. We're running up against the end of the show. But I want to thank you for your call. Very interesting thoughts. And also I want to thank our guest, Mike Orell, for being with us this evening. You want to go over to his website, check it out, and check the videos out. You'll find them at YouTube. If you go to his website, you'll see the link that takes you to YouTube. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.